Welcome to the Hot Rod Hangout Podcast.
Whoop whoop.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Ashley.
And tonight we got a special guest, a kid that I grew up with, moved away, but he's out trying to keep the hot rod alive on the other side. So welcome, Chris. What's going on, man?
Yes, man. Yeah, I haven't seen you in, seven, 8 years, maybe.
That's been longer than that. I think the last time Scott
was born, and he's eight. He just turned eight. I think he was about 5 months old.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were still doing the Golf Village thing the last time we talked.
Yeah, you know, side note, remember the Monte Carlo I had?
I don't think so.
I showed you pictures of it. It was a circle track car. It was a 70 For a 70 Monte Carlo. No, what was it? Yeah, 72 Monte Carlo. So I found the history on that car. That car was actually the actual car that Jim Carrey drove in Ace Ventura.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
the dent in the side where that Mexican guy had beat it with a bat where he was trying to get out. Mm. It was still in the car.
Oh yeah.
It was the only dent I never fixed. Yeah, because they filmed it in Miami, and then after the show got filmed, they sold the stunt cars to a guy named John Shelnut, who used it as a circle track car. He got like 13 checkered flags with that thing, and then I bought it in Lady Lake. What is the next town? What is the next town above Lady Lake?
Fruitland Park? Leesburg? No, the other way.
Sorry. Yeah, towards Ocala, basically. Yeah, I bought it sitting on a trailer in front of a storage unit.
That's
nice,
awesome.
Nice.
Turnkey. Yeah.
So what had originally got you into this crazy car obsession?
I think it's actually probably partially your fault.
That's not the first time.
Yeah. You know, I actually have a folder somewhere with all my award stuff. It actually has mine and your sketches from when we were kids.
Yep.
And you could not get Matt to draw anything other than an S10.
Pretty much.
He didn't draw. If it wasn't an S10, it had to be a dinosaur, because it was never going to be a Ford.
I am not an artist. Still not an artist. I can picture it. I just can't lay it on paper. So.
Yeah. And it always had to have tinted windows.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I couldn't draw interior either.
You know what? I'd probably blame about the five guys that me and you grew up with. Because that's all we talked about. That's all we drew. And none of us had a car when we were that young. Mm-mm. And my parents didn't have a cool car. My dad had retired that scene before I was born, or adopted, I guess you could say. And then my mom didn't let me. My mom didn't even let me draw cars.
No?
No. I was not allowed to draw cars for a long time. I had to draw it all at school and hide the stuff.
So, yeah.
Then I'd get in trouble for drawing a car, and it'd be on the back of my test paper. Where they're like, you know, you doodle on the back or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then my mom would find that.
So, man. We were talking a little bit before. Currently, what's the favorite car that you own?
Own right now? That's a toughie. I got two that I can't figure out which one I want to get actually like on the road first.
Okay.
So I got the 59 Ford panel wagon or panel truck. And that would be on the road now Except, do you know you cannot get a starter from O'Reilly's for a small block Chevy?
Leo, stop.
Like, you can't get it at all. It has to be, so you got three different bolt patterns on a starter on a small block Chevy. Mm-hmm. You got your two, and then you have your three bolt, where the two bolts are aligned and one down below. Mm-hmm. Then you have the one where it's like kind of like a triangle.
Yeah.
Well, it's the late 60s, early 70s style. You can't get that anymore. O'Reilly's can't even order it, special order. They don't have access to it. And you can't, there's not a single small block Chevy starter at any O'Reilly's anymore. It's not on the shelf. You can get it the next day.
The part stores have, we have said that numerous times. I've sent Ashley for parts, and it's like simple stuff. And if it doesn't fit 18 different vehicles, they don't have it. I was shocked the other day. I sent her for a 6-volt coil. We're trying to get the 29 running, and I sent her for a 6-volt coil, and she comes back with a coil. I was like, okay, that's different. I can't get anything for that car besides, 6-volt shit, which I am on the struggle bus with 6-volt wiring right now. But,
well, can't you get one of those ceramic 12 to 6-volt adapter? What's the actual word for it? It's not a diode, it's a. Or you can convert it.
It still has the Model A points and condenser and all that, so.
Yeah, don't mess with that.
Yeah. So I either got to fully commit to a 12-volt swap, or I really just want to get it running.
Well, what do you need?
Time. A little bit of knowledge.
You said, and that's from Model A.
Yeah, it's the 29 four-door that I picked up.
You know, I might actually have good news for you.
Really?
So my dad, and you want to hear you've heard some pretty bad conversions or really dumb conversions.
I've been a part of some of them.
Here's one. I'll tell you something. This guy that my dad knows, me and my mom's history.
Yeah.
We've never gotten along, and my mom has seen me restore probably 50 cars and still won't let me touch my dad's pickup truck with that has been rusting and decaying since the 60s. Mm-hmm. But for no reason other than in spite. So this guy, about a year and a half ago, decided to convince my dad that he was going to take an 89 Tacoma.
Yes, me and you were talking about this.
Yes.
Yeah.
He took a 46 Ford or jailbird truck, and he put it on. He attempted to put it on a 88 Tacoma frame with a 93 Tacoma motor. And somehow stopped in the middle, had a bunch of medical excuses it might be legit excuses. I'm not there to really know the difference. And it hasn't done anything. So now my dad has a 46 Ford pickup truck cab sitting on a frame with no bolts on it, on a Tacoma frame, with no brake stuff hooked up from what I can see, no steering, no nothing. And it's a manual, and he's got four front and back fenders and a hood and a bed laying on the ground. That's how he got it back a week ago.
Nice.
And then he has the original frame, okay? And guess what's sitting on the original frame? Oh, like basically almost running. A Model A V8 flathead. And also, what is sitting in the box of the back of that truck was a crate from the factory with a brand new carburetor, a brand new intake manifold, and I believe a points distributor with all that stuff in that box. And it's still in the wrap from the factory. It's been in there since my dad bought the truck.
Holy snikes.
We might have to get together. Because I have a small block that I was going to put in that project, but a flathead would be way cooler.
He has absolutely no use for it. And doesn't care.
We might work something out there, because
he's got no use for a flathead. It's so hard to get a water pump. Mm-hmm. He's too old to get a catalog and want to order.
Well, depending on which flathead, they don't really make nothing for it anymore, unless you
think it's actually. You know what? I think it's a Model T flathead. Which one made the exactly 100 horsepower?
I don't know. I don't know enough about flatheads. Neither one of them would have came with a V8, though. Or neither one of them would have come with a 8-cylinder. It would have been a 4-banger.
It's a flathead V8.
That would have been later. Hmm. That would have been... I don't know. Like 30, like 30s, mm-hmm. late 30s or mid to late 30s. But yeah, I have a 4-banger motor. I bought that 4-door sedan complete. I was going to get it running to run it around until I could get some stuff sold, because I still got the 32 pickup body that is maybe getting traded for something that would be cool to sit on top of that Model A frame. And then if that happens, then the 54 will be for sale. But I gotta sell some stuff. I couldn't pass the deal up on that 4-door sedan, and it took all my money, all my car fund money. So, but if you could just come back, and I'd have somebody to fucking work on shit with.
I didn't really, it was like a 30% chance I was going to move back down, like kind of in the air. And now I just found out my ex-wife just moved to Florida randomly without telling me about a week ago.
So you're probably going to be coming back to Florida yourself?
Like, literally was not notified, told, or anything. She just texted me and was like, oh, well, I've moved. So there we go.
So there's a chance?
But there's a chance now. Probably about 70-80%. It's just how soon is the question.
Yeah, I get it, man. And I don't know where she moved to, but the market, well, it was the same way when you lived here. Mm-hmm. The villages have pretty much made it nearly impossible to find property reasonably. But we're here for another year, and then we're going to be looking for land to build a garage, and I'll put a mattress in the corner if I have to. She's okay with it, though, so it's fine.
Buddy!
So, what is a car that got away?
Car that got away.
Whether you had the opportunity. Well, one that you either had the chance to buy and, couldn't swing it at the time, or a car that you sold.
I don't even have to think about this one. So, I wasn't that close to buying a 69 Charger RT.
Okay.
Or 426 six-pack car. They had took the intake manifold and the carburetors off. But I had already unloaded that car off of my their trailer at my shop. And I had a 70 Mach 1, like, running. It was lime green with black stripe, 351 four-speed car. And, it was basically rust-free. Very minimal, and it was all in the trunk pan area. Mm. And I didn't even know that there was a little bit of brown back there. It was more towards the the leaf springs. So we roll the car, his car, off the thing, and he had already looked at mine, and we take the Charger off and roll my Mustang on, And right as the Mustang is going up, it's too low. We couldn't get it on the trailer. Oh, he had one of those U-Haul rental trailers.
Oh, geez.
And I had slammed that Mustang to the ground. So when we tried to get it on the trailer, we put it on blocks. And this guy, he was kind of in a hurry. And, I mean, he was such in a hurry, it almost made me think maybe the car was stolen. So I'm, like, looking at the title paperwork. And, I mean, it actually had his name on it. You know, registered, not, like, pencil-whipped or somebody else, you know, maybe just a flipped car title. No, it was his. He had registered it. It was legit. It was a second owner title. The title was from like the 80s. So he had had that car since the 80s. And he had somewhere else to go. It wasn't a wedding. It was something close to that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly. And man, 50 minutes later, we were using the I had a regular come along because he didn't have a winch.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so many cars. Well, maybe it was another part of my problem. I had so many cars outside my shop that we were using as parts cars. We had it was a really tight spot to angle the trailer to get it in there, mm-hmm. just to roll it in and out to get to the Mustang. So I was using one of those old school come alongs. And I got about 3/4 of the way up, and it broke the chain. And the Mustang rolled all the way. The wheel, we had turned it to get it on the trailer. When it fell off the trailer, it went straight and smashed right into the side of my 55 four-door parts car.
Oh.
And it hit it right on the chrome bumper, and it hit it right where it had just clipped the bumper, a brand new chrome bumper, to where you're like, well, that needs to be replaced. Mm. It went underneath the quarter panel and just ripped everything up to where it opened the trunk. And it all went all the way to the front door, and my door was sticking out like a half inch. And when it hit the door, it just crumbled it.
Oh, goodness.
And the guy looked at me. I was like, well, I think I need to just get my car back on the trailer.
Damn.
And I was more upset with the damage of my car. And I knew it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
But when he left, I realized I was crying, and it wasn't because I hurt my car. It's because I lost the opportunity of that car.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in Texas, just buying a Charger, even I'm talking completely rust bucket bad. I mean, you are replacing everything. That's like $15,000.
Yeah, it's weird. We were talking because there's another podcast that got us start or helped us get started, get some traction, and they're from out in Texas. And I was talking to him one night. And after we had recorded, and we were just BSing about everything. And he's like, man, everything. What's weird, though, is everything that's super expensive there is cheap here. And everything that's stupid cheap there. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen deals. Ashley's a big fan of the 63 to 66 C10s. And you find them all day over there. You could bring them back here and flip them for twice, like the next day, probably before you even got it unloaded. You probably could offer delivery on the way home and get it sold. And
yep. I've noticed that with Donald.
Yeah.
You can get a Junkyard LS 6.0 here for $400. That's good.
Yeah.
And it's worth how much there?
Not $400.
No, can't even get.
You can't even get a core for $400 here.
Good one. Say what?
I said you can't even get a core for $400 here.
Yeah,
but and then you got the West Coast that you know you couldn't get a or you could pick a Model A up for a couple $100 still, but try to find a Woody or a Merc or something like that, and like you said, rotted to the ground. $50,000. It's like, and we're all looking for Model A's and, you know, 32 Fords, and they're throwing those cars away because there's so many out there.
I've seen some around here on the way to the scrapyard. When the scrap goes up,
oh, yeah,
there's no telling what's going to be on the trailer. They're so common here, it's almost like it's a tractor. Mm-hmm. And then there's the guys that pick them off and go to the swap meets.
I have a 32 truck if anybody in Texas that hears this wants. Yeah, I got to come visit Chris anyway.
Be a good excuse. Yeah.
So,
hey, if you're going to come up here, you need to bring one of my motors back.
If I don't make a trip before September, I'll grab something and bring it with me. Cause we're coming September 22nd and 23rd. We'll be in Texas. So for the Drag and Destroy show or Drag and Destroy.
Drag and Destroy?
Yeah.
You're going to a drag show? Nice.
Yeah, man. You know how I do it. Been working in the Villages too long. Now, that other podcast that I mentioned earlier, they're co-promoting, it's a mini truck show, but there's some traditional hot rods. So I figured I'll go crash it with some rat rod and some traditionals and call it a day.
I'm pretty sure I know. I have one friend who's a tattoo artist. He is most likely going to be there then.
Brickley?
Yeah. No, his name's Danny Mack.
Oh, okay.
But he's got a little B2000. The only reason I met him is I had a B2000 that I had, like, slammed to the ground and made... I mean, it was like the most rust-free B2000 that had never been tampered with. I mean, it was the straightest truck. I don't know how it was such well kept, but the guy I got it from. And then he wanted to buy it, and then he found a different one for a different price. And I've been talking to him ever since. He almost he was trying to find a motor for his. And I guess it was kind of being stubborn of finding one in the timeline he was going for. And I had a inline 6 300 small block Ford with a manual transmission. I had that sitting around. I mean, it was completely rebuilt and I had just not messed with it. And then he had came up and he was going to buy it. And then his wife were like, changed his mind at the last minute, like, oh, my friend has this motor, so, you know, I didn't take any offense to it. But that would have been a really cool swap.
I had the 54 loaded on a trailer last year, the night before my birthday, to go trade it. And the guy called me, car's loaded on the trailer, we're ready to go. And he calls me. I was like, yeah, man, I'll be down there. You know, it'll probably be like 9, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. He's like, well, I got a problem. I'm like, what's that? He's like, my wife made plans, and I can't find the title to this truck. And I was like, well, if you ain't got a title, I don't really want to trade. I said, but find the title, and we'll come up with something. I was like, but you said you have plans, so it doesn't really matter. I'm not coming tomorrow anyway. So I unloaded the car, and I'm like, fuck, I'll take it to breakfast. And we ended up at Mark and Mary and had a little cruise in. And I'm like, so I'll eat some breakfast for my birthday, and then we'll go to a cruise in and whatever. Get the car unloaded. He texts me. He's like, hey, man, I found the title. I'm like, I just unloaded the car. He goes, and I don't have the plans anymore. And I'm like, I just unloaded the car. I'm like, you got to come to me now. And he's like, yeah, no,
I can't. The delivery right there.
I was like, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Because the 54 at that time was still... stupid. I've lifted that car. That car has been lifted 4 inches since I got it. Just to be able to drive it and not make trenches with me and Ashley in it.
It still does.
And it still drags every once in a while, but it's part of being low. That car is actually on stock springs and it still tucks front tires. I have no clue what they did drop spindle wise, but or drop kingpin wise, but yeah, that car is dummy low.
Speaking of dummy low, have you seen? So you've seen a picture of my panel wagon?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Did you notice how low it is?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this whole side of my back, all the way to my ribs, right here, it's like purple and blue and green. And I got a, this whole elbow right here has got a burn mark on it from the tire. Because O'Reilly's messed up the stall converter, gave me one for a power glide instead of a TA350. So when I put it in there, it got stuck. And when I had the panel wagon on ramps, and ramps on the front and bricks on the back, and I had put extra bricks on the side to make sure it couldn't roll.
Yeah.
Well, just to get that stall converter out there, I guess I pulled just a little too hard when I was trying to pull it out, because I had pulled the transmission back, and then I had it still bolted in the cross member, and then I was just pulling on that thing. Well, I pulled enough to where it rolled off the ramps, and the tire ran over me onto my ribs, and I thought I was going to break them, but they didn't. And I, other than that, I was like, well, I guess I'm in a pretty bad situation. I need to just get the tire off of me. So when I pushed the tire off, the wheel had turned and it missed the ramp. So when I pushed it back forward to get off of me, all of a sudden the vehicle just dropped 14 inches and the frame had just crushed the shoulder and everything behind it. Because when I pushed it off, I was sitting on my side right where the S10 frame is on the bottom of that panel wagon.
Oh, goodness.
But I'm alive and nothing's broke.
Well, there you go. Man.
So I'm kind of bragging about how stupid I am.
Well, it happens.
And see, if you lived in Florida, he could have borrowed the cribs.
Yeah.
We have cribs.
Cribs?
Yeah, wheel cribs. Mm-hmm. Jack the car up, which the 54, you got to jack up the rear end, put it on small cribs, put the front up on the big cribs, and then jack the rear end up because the jack won't go under it enough to get all the way up.
But it raises it a good amount. We can
14 inches.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's nice.
It also makes it where it's sitting at right, like your suspension and everything is sitting at ride height.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of see where everything's going to go. And if you get fancy, you can grease plates and use it to dry. You know, you can turn, make sure nothing's going to hit. And not that I'm that smart. And I just did it and went, yeah, that'll work. So what show or event do you try to make every year?
I always try to make the Lone Star Roundup. And it's, I mean, I'd say about 40% is the show.
Yeah.
The rest of it is the 60% is what happens at 5 o'clock after the show.
The cruising, the after parties.
The cruising after party. So the show is technically, I'm going to say it, I think it's in Round Rock, like the address. And then, so Round Rock shares northeast Austin. So once the show stops at 5 on Friday or Saturday, everybody starts up their engines and they'll cruise around the show. You know, they'll go up and down a couple lanes and then they'll leave. And they will leave in packs of 200. And, they're all, most of the time, they're all matching. So, like, all the Model A's from the entire show will, like, break into two wolf packs, and they'll go. And then, like, it seems to be, like, all the late 50s guys are doing their own thing. And they will go from, I mean, it almost looks like a funeral. It looks like a 1950s funeral. They'll all go, and they'll go all the way from Round Rock, and they'll drive down to 15th Street, which is the Capitol, and they'll go around the Capitol, and then from 5, I mean, it takes about 30 minutes to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Right at 5:30, from the Congress building all the way to the end of Congress Street. I don't know exactly how long it is. I'd guess it's 4.5-5 miles. That is all that's there. And it is, so, I mean, who hasn't seen American Graffiti? It is literally like that. And most of the people hang out where all the old style buildings. All the way up and down that four miles is nothing but classics parked at an angle the entire way. And if you try to park your regular car there, people will stand in front of it and not let you park there. And then try to fill it with another car.
Jeez. Yeah, that's definitely one of the shows that we want to make.
Yeah, so let's see. There, most people go to, there's like the, I don't know how old it is, but it's a like the first motel or first actual hotel on Congress. It's still there. And that's usually, you want to try to get a chair there. You know, just bring lawn chair, go park your car somewhere, get some lawn chairs, you know, sit there for maybe 30 minutes to where you can see almost every single car passing one way or the other. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, on Congress Street, every single block has a light. I mean, all the way down. So that, I don't know how many lights there are, but there's a lot. And so you can sit there for 30 minutes and watch every single car go by. And then they'll come back the other way. And then after 30 minutes, what I usually do is I throw my chairs back in my car, and then I'll cruise Congress Street for 30 minutes going up and down, and then I'll park again and set my chairs up again, and then we'll get something to eat. And then, you know, most on Friday night, people are diehard until about 11:30. Absolutely nobody is leaving until 11:30. And then the hardcore guys, you know, they're, it's their one day a year where they're actually up till 1 a.m. still roasting tires at every single light.
Yeah, we definitely, yeah, we want to check that out. And then also Invasion.
Invasion. I haven't been to that one.
I just want to meet them. The car club that puts it on.
Them.
Just because I think that's an awesome name for a car club. So, but definitely want to get out there and be a couple West Coast shows, Viva Las Vegas, the Moon Eyes show, of course, Grand National.
Well, see, last Saturday got rained out around 8 o'clock. It started raining. And you would think that would slow them down, right?
Nah.
Nope.
Now it's just liquid. Now it's just liquid traction. Nope. De-hancer.
Yep. Yeah, that was, I thought people wouldn't, you know, people start dispersing. It was actually the opposite. Everybody that had a tea bucket, they were out there having a blast. Nobody cared.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's cool.
And most of the guys that were in the tea buckets were actually all the old guys.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very few were probably in their 30s.
There seems to be, like a lot of the Model A guys, there's like a diverse group, but T-Bucket guys seem to tend to be on the older side for some reason. You get a little bit of Model A Roadster pickups and Roadsters, but the T-Bucket, like the hardcore T-Bucket guys are usually tend to be the older generation. My dad went and looked at a T-Bucket before he bought his 34.
Yeah, he did.
He fit in it worse than he fits in the 34. So
yeah.
But
I've actually seen a 34 Willie coupe there. Like all original.
Nice.
And it was chugging along. It had wooden spokes and all.
Heck yeah. Geez. Yeah, there's there's a gentleman, he's out in Texas somewhere. I don't exactly know where in Texas, but he's out there. The neighborhood nightmare. It's a Willie's pickup gasser. big blower and all that stuff. I'll get to meet him. He should be on the podcast soon, but we'll get to meet him in September. Very, very knowledgeable guy.
I don't remember the name of this one person, but he has like a, it's a 59 El Camino.
Chuck.
That's green.
No? Cheater Slick?
It's the one that's got a huge blower sticking out the hood by like 3 feet.
Oh, no.
He basically, so he took a 59 El Camino, and he had chopped, I'm going to guess, probably 2.5 feet out of the car from front to back. And then it actually looks like a Dodge Viper. It's pretty dang sick. I think it's like, if you go on YouTube and you look up 59 El Camino Frankenstein, I think it pops up. It's like a vintage patinaed green and black. He was not at the show this year, and I was kind of wondering why, because he's gone to it every year and improved his car for the last 4 years.
Yeah, the guy that I bought the 32 from that's become a good friend, he wants to cruise the hot rods from here out there for Lone Star Throwdown.
Does he have a big tool bag?
He is as traditional as it comes. He actually is, his Roadster just got accepted into Trog, so. Yeah, Flathead, Roadster. Yeah, that.
Flathead not across me. America.
Not me. Small black Chevrolet for the win. I mean, I would love to have a flathead. My pockets just usually ain't that deep, and I don't know enough about them. I would be completely lost. So I'd like to find one that I could tear apart and figure it out. But unfortunately, the state of Florida feels like those are made of gold. So even ones that will never run again, they still want lots of money for. So
you've seen the reverse flow flatheads.
Yes.
I've seen something last year at the Gator swap meet. The guy had it running on a stand. He had took a flathead V8. I don't remember exactly. I mean, it was a Ford, I believe. And he made it a two-stroke. He had like the two-stroke pipes out the side, and that thing was winding a good 12,000 RPM.
Oh, jeez.
I had thought and about...
Huh?
Go ahead.
Like he wanted, I think he wanted $8,500 for it, and I was kind of negotiating, like, you know, I think I can justify this purchase, like, you know, luckily my old boss from 5 years ago, who I used to restore cars for before I took my own path, he's like, you know what? I mean, I went to the bank and I withdrew the money that I didn't have that my card was going to cover, because my withdrawal limit at the ATM was like $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Sunday, so I couldn't call the bank. So I went and got the rest, and as I'm going back, the guy that had the motor was like somewhere looking for parts. So I waited there, and my old boss was looking at it. He's like, look, man, I know you want it, and I know you think it's going to be cool, but where is it going to be practical when you got to work on it? Because you don't know. This is going to be a guessing game for us to be scratching our heads trying to figure out why it's not firing up. Like, you know, I kind of agree.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's going to be a bad purchase, even though, you know, Lord wants me to. And I was right now, maybe this is, maybe I figure something else out.
Yeah. That's my dad. My dad and the guy that he used to work with, Kenny, who still works at the nursery, they have one of the old supercharged Detroit diesel motors. And I was like, that would be cool in a rat rod. But it's a 2-stroke diesel motor that are known to run backwards. And I was like, I can see it now. I'm cruising down the interstate at 70 mile an hour and the motor decides it wants to go the other way and, you know, money shift itself. So I'm like, yeah, let's keep it simple, stupid. But,
you know, speaking of Detroit diesel rat rod engines, there's a guy that has it's just a complete rat rod. I don't even know what he had started with. I think it was a COE that's on airbags. I used to work for a government contract company, and they had dumped like 15 of these Detroit diesel superchargers into a dumpster that was brand new with tags still on them. I'm like, well, what are we doing with this? And they're like, it needs to go to scrap or something. So I grabbed every single one of those bad boys. And I made every single rat rod guy happy at Decatur Swap Meet the year prior to what I was talking about. I sold each one of those for $200 to $300 a piece just to be a nice person to every single one of them that wanted one.
I thought about putting the blower off of it on a small block, but then I was looking at the modifications it takes to make it mount to a small block. I was like, I'm going to be, by the time I change out everything, I'm going to be at the price that I could just go buy a blower, and I don't have blower money. So let's not tease myself by putting it on the shelf and looking at it every day and going, yeah, that would be awesome. But I lucked up and found a 3-deuce intake. So.
And it's just an adapter plate that you got to make, right?
You got to cut ears off. You have to machine. And I don't have any way of doing that here, so.
Yeah, because, when you're doing that, you just have to keep the intake manifold.
Because it bolts, instead of bolting vertically, it bolts horizontally. Mm-hmm. So, there's probably somebody out there that's got the magic dice and like, oh, it's this $50 bracket that I'll sell you, but. And looking at it and watching people modify them to make them work on conventional small block or big block intakes, I was like, that's a little bit above my head right now. So,
when I had gotten them, they had the spacer for the engine.
Oh.
Not the blower.
Nice.
So, I didn't really look at it too hard because it was nothing I was doing. I did notice that one of them had like a plate that was missing on the, I don't know if it was on the front or the back.
Yeah, you have to change. You also have to change that front plate.
Yeah.
To either shorten it or lengthen it to get it in front of a small block anyway. But there's people out there doing it. I was like, yeah, for what I'm trying to do, we didn't land in a real. We were supposed to have a big shop in this house, but we didn't land in a place where I have a big shop. I have a little tiny shop with a carport and too many cars right now. So I need help.
The OCD old car disease would be worse if you had a bigger shop.
100%. But I went, okay, so when we sold our house, the plan was to build a 60x40 building with a tiny house inside. And then I was going to have like 6 bays of car stuff. And, we got jacked around by a contractor and took money from us and yada, yada, yada. And it got to the end, and I was like, okay, we're living in a camping trailer in my parents' backyard. So, like, 2 dogs, me and her. We got married in the camper trailer. You know, like, it's time that, you know, I give you a real house to, I don't know, live in. So we gave up that dream for right now, but.
You make it sound bad that we got married in a camping trailer.
Hey, you got to represent.
Well, you know, Kermacoochie. But
I've seen some, I think it was like $129 or $129,000 was a 60 by 80 barn dominium.
Mm-hmm.
And the second floor is the living space. It's like, I think it's 1,100 square foot living space. And then whatever the above the, yeah, the 60 by 80 got.
Mm. Well, we had found
that included concrete.
Oh. That's a good deal.
Yeah.
I paid, I paid almost 10 grand for 30 by 22 concrete. So yeah, that's a good deal. But we had found a contractor that, you know, sold us, said they were, oh yeah, I could build that. And then he kept making changes that got further and further away from, cause I just wanted a red iron rectangle building. I wanted it to look like a metal building from the outside. I didn't want it to look like a house. And he wanted to add niceties and, you know, bidets and islands in the kitchen. And, you know, and I'm like, well, if it's in the budget, that's fine. But, like, the most important part is this 40 by 40 that is my shop. And he's like, okay. And then he called. He's like, oh, we have to make the shop smaller. And I was like, no, you're not listening. The shop doesn't get any smaller. I said, the house can get smaller, but the garage cannot get any smaller. And he's like, well, what does your wife think of that? I'm like, my wife thinks that it's perfectly good. And if you call her and try to convince her otherwise, me and you are going to have a bigger problem than the fact that you're not giving me what I want. Because she's ate up with cars almost as much as me. So, I mean, I tried to sell the 54, and she told me I had to find her something to replace it before I sell it. So.
Well, if we need something.
Yeah, don't ever go behind the guy's back and ask the wife. Happy wife, happy knife.
But so, is there a show that you've never been to that you would like to go to?
You know, I've never been to SEMA, even though I've had a car go there. yeah, I had to go to court instead of go to SEMA, and non-refundable plane ticket, and I bought the hotel and the plane ticket all in one shebang.
So if you didn't go to court, then that would have been worse than missing out on SEMA. If
you go to court, I would have lost a lawsuit.
Gotcha. Okay.
The lawsuit on my at the time. Yeah, I had a guy, we did a Stingray motor swap, LS swap, wiring, new dash, new seats, new carpet, and some like LED lights underneath.
Mm-hmm.
$3,500. That's what I charged him. Like out the door, running, wired up, everything done. This guy decided to pay only $2,000. And then since one of his gauges didn't work, it was like the alternator light.
Mm-hmm.
Since that didn't work, which I don't even know if it worked or not, after he put it on the trailer and left, he had said that, hey, my alternator light isn't working. And I don't like the zip tie holding the light underneath on the back. Well, it's a Corvette. It's like a 78 Corvette. You know, there's not much to really screw into. It's all fiberglass.
Right.
You don't want to screw into fiberglass. You're better off drilling a hole and running a metal zip tie. Yeah. Or the middle tie. Yeah, well, when we showed up to court, this guy... Am I allowed to cuss on here?
Yeah, go for it.
This ass clown took the door panels off. He just like took the door panel. He pulled it up, like undid the clips and pulled it up and pulled it out like 6 inches and let it hang. on both, took pictures of that, and then had like three wires that he had, that loose wires that we had never used from the old wiring harness. Because I was like, you know, leave some of that. It's still OEM to your flashers and switches and stuff. Why do that? He had took a picture of three wires hanging down, and his buddy, the judge, was going to grant him all of his money back and for me to pay $8,000 to him.
Interesting. Over a $2,000 like, deal.
Hold on here.
Oh, my like, goodness. What?
Like, no damage has been done. And I restored this guy's car. And because an alternator, he's claiming that the alternator light worked and the door panels were not properly installed, I'm supposed to pay him $8,000.
Oh, my goodness.
That was partial the reason why I was like, you know what, maybe I just need to
call. Yeah, no, we're going to go to court.
That judge was literally going to grant him that. And I was like, I don't think so.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
There are people trying that.
Yeah, that's
graceful.
I got a buddy down here that's doing cars, and we had planned to have him on, but he's going through a period right now where he's not real happy with cars, and he's kind of taking a little hiatus, and that was his thing is, you know, it was fun when I was doing it, you know, as a passion project, he goes, but now everybody comes and I have to build it the way they want it. And if I don't see it the same vision, or they come in halfway through and, oh, can we change this? And he's like, yeah, we can, but we got to take 18 steps backwards to go back to that. That's already done. Oh, well, that's how I want it. So then, you know, redoing and undoing, and it doesn't change the deadline. Oh, it still needs to be done by tomorrow. And he's like, I can't. And losing time with his family, and, you know, he started the business because he wanted to be home with his kids more and, you know, be able to spend time with the wife and kid. And now all of a sudden it's taking more time to try to meet deadlines that are unattainable because people watch TV shows and see that, oh, well, that was done in an hour TV show.
Yeah. So, they don't see what's going on behind the scenes.
No. So, unlimited budget, someone just gave you a bag full of money and said, build what you want. What you building?
Something's going to piss some people off. You know, I'm going to go with, I don't even know what they call these things. The best way I can describe it is Toy Story movie. You know, what is that car? What's the name of that car on Toy Story? The one that's, he's got the, it's a remote control car.
Oh, the flip Andy car? Has.
Yes. I would probably build a flip car. Why not? Motor in the back. I've seen a couple of them. They're kind of like dune buggies.
Mm-hmm.
Wishbone suspension. Everything's independent, but have the tires 48 inches.
You said Toy Story car, and I'm thinking of like, okay, are we talking about Andy's mom's car or something?
The little panel, the little wagon.
Yeah.
Woody wagon.
The Meteor Pizza wagon.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But yeah, I think I would actually that's probably the most fun car I think I could use because you can kind of use that in every car scene.
Yeah.
As long as you have like an old school classic look. Mm-hmm. You can go to a new car show. You can go to an old car show. You can go to a mud fest. You can go to a rock crawl show. You can go everywhere with that car.
That'd be cool. And here I was thinking you were going to go like that. It's different. I was like, oh yeah, he's like long caddy, Lincoln Continental, something, you know, run of the mill.
Yeah. Mom dropped me as a kid.
It happens.
Join the club.
So
I've never attempted one before. So
I think you could probably get it done with like an air cooled, either old school Porsche motor or old school Volkswagen motor. They'd probably run upside down.
Yeah, but I see them. Well, if you're running a dry sump.
Yeah, if you're running a dry sump, it don't matter.
LS7, or a factory LS7, you're done.
Yeah.
Oh, LT4.
There you go.
I got one sitting brand new on a pallet.
I'll bring it to you. Or you're moving here, so you're going to be able to get here, so it's all good.
I actually messaged Donald yesterday night about that. I'm like, you know what? Maybe we should build one of these. What are we going to do? I don't know. We'll just use that LT4 has been collecting dust for half a year. It's always nice to use a high horsepower motor. You ain't got no money in anymore. When you buy an engine and you've had it in the garage for like more than 3 months, that's a free motor.
Guy math. Car guy math.
That $12,000.
Car guy math.
You know, look what I found.
Well, in that case, everything in my yard's free.
All right.
Except for the Model A that I just bought.
I mean, if you really think about it, like, say you've had a project sitting in, you know, project sitting in the back and you paid $6,000 for it 6 years ago and it just hasn't moved since. Like, you know what? Maybe I will just take $2,000 for that thing because it's basically free to you. You've forgotten about it. The financial burden has passed and new opportunity, even if it takes a hit.
Oh, I robbed the parts that I'm going to need for the 29 build and 32 truck went up for sale the day I brought that 29 home. I just don't fit in it. I mean, watching my mom and dad get in and out of their 34. And my dad's a little smaller waisted than I am, and my mom's a little smaller waisted than Ashley. And watching them climb in and out of that truck all day did not give me the warm and fuzzies of trying to do it myself. And I want something that we can get in and go cruise it and not have to be the guy that's like, hey, I need to stretch my back. It's been 20 minutes. And yeah. I know that 32, I'd have been cramped.
So right as I got rid of my, my 55 Bel Air that I destroyed physically and pulled all my parts off of it that day, it got cut up and scrapped. And I'm waiting pictures of that actually being going on and crushed. He's supposed to be sending me these pictures pretty soon. So that same week, when I was moving, I had to get rid of a couple cars. And I had, I think you've seen it. I had a red 64 Buick Electra 225.
Yes.
64.
Mm-hmm.
Long, sleek, no wing. It's just that, I mean, it looks like a Continental. But in my opinion, I like the chrome, how it goes on the car better. It flows better. And it doesn't have the suicide doors. So I actually decided to sell that car, and the guy gave me, you know, everybody's like, hey, I could do payments. And I've always told people no. And you know what? I actually sold it for $10,000, which is a deal.
Yeah.
The interior was brand new in that car, running, driving, no problems. It needed paint. And if I was going to paint it, I probably wouldn't have sold it. I wanted to paint it purple, but I had other things going on. I didn't have the time. So I sold it for $10,000. And this guy is actually still paying me his payments.
Wow.
Yeah. He wrote his own contract. I looked over it. It's legit. And he's paying me anywhere from $500 to $1,000 until it's paid him per month. And you know what? This is actually the first time I've ever done payments on a car or accepted that. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't bitten me in the butt yet.
Yet.
So,
knock on wood.
Like, there are people like that in this world still.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, there is.
His main thing was like, you know what? Look, me and my wife kind of spend money a little too fast to save it for more important things if we do. Mm-hmm. And these cars are getting to where I'm not going to be able to afford it ever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I actually understand. So
yeah.
Awesome.
No, that was the, I mean, the 29. I offered the guy pretty much everything in my yard for a trade, and it kind of stalled out. And so I called him and I was like, listen, I'm sorry. I'm going to lay my hand on the table, but what's the best cash deal you got? And I'll try to scrape it up. And told Ashley, I said, hey, can we move some stuff around? This is what he's wanting for it. It's a complete car. She's like, if we go buy it, then that's all the car fund. Like, there's no parts fund. And I was like, that's fine. I'll sell some stuff. And now I'm like, man, I really gonna want to go work on it, but I don't have any money to spend money on parts. So,
what parts do you need?
A Bowling Brothers chassis will be the first big one. Either that or I need, I can't do it here, but if I could, we'll talk about that later. there's another idea squirreling in my head, chassis wise.
But in the frame or no?
Yeah.
That, honestly, I've kind of found a cheat to that. Right. As long as you're, I mean, every time I've done it, as long as you use a Crown Vic front clip.
No, I want to keep straight axle.
Yeah, I know.
And Crown Vicks are hard to come by in Florida.
Honestly, that's about 2.5 days of work. And you don't have to take it off the frame. Yeah. Or if you don't, you don't have to take the cab off. I've done it 3 times, kept the cab on, and just replaced the brake lines as I did it.
Yeah, I have an idea for that car, but I've kept saying that I'm not going to do the car this way. But then I seen one today, and I was like, man, that would look pretty badass, though. But we'll talk about that off the podcast. The internet's not ready for that one yet. I'll also tell you the rest of the plan of the, if it works out, the body trade off the internet, because the internet can't know that yet.
Anyway.
We may end up with 2 Model A's.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
But
sorrows in one side and smiles on the other.
It's
you know, it's a good idea when the wife is got a disgusted look on her face, but she's laughing, and then it turns to a smile. That's a good idea.
The only thing is, she can drive a stick shift. Let me preference that. She can drive a stick shift. She's just not super comfortable at it. So, like, the 54 has an S10 5-speed in it, and it's literally the worst example of an S10 5-speed. She can drive it. She's parking lot drove that car, took it on the back road behind Winn-Dixie. You know, but the car, she's not used to it, so adding in the 5-speed gets her crunk.
Question, what pedals are in it?
The factory 54 Chevrolet pedals. That's why.
That's the problem.
Yes.
That's the
problem. Yes.
Because those things pivot like this.
Yes.
Especially in the 40s, man.
Yeah. So
that was just weird technology. They did not believe in the heel foot pivot.
Yes. If the body doesn't, or if the trade doesn't work out the way I wanted it to, the plan for that 54 was, after I get my car done, was to 700R4 swap it. That way, if she needs to hop up, run a couple exits on 75, not a big deal. She can get in it. I'm going to put Holly Sniper just came out with a single barrel conversion. Throw fuel injection on it. That way, when she goes out, she hits the key, it starts, and she can take it. I don't have to worry about it. Because right now, she does the old car stuff, or he does the old car stuff. You know, it's, you walk out there, you hit the key, electric fuel pump kicks on, It may start on the first time, or it may start tomorrow. It's going to let you know whether you can take it on the drive or not. If there's two of us, or if it's me, I'll muddle through it. She gets frustrated. So if we get in a parking lot, or she's in a parking lot with it, and it's not starting for her, then it's, you know, everybody's looking at the car already, and now it's not running right. You know, now it's a piece of shit. So, but I don't know.
Have you seen those single barrel EFI carbs?
Yeah, that's what I'm planning on putting on that. Randy Jackson with the Gasser Garage, the guy that has the neighborhood nightmare, his girlfriend has a 53, and they did that on it, and he's like night and day. She never has to worry about it. It starts every time. He'll never have to
worry about the idle stumbling ever again.
Yeah. So.
You know, I was just thinking.
Uh-oh.
I go, yeah, I know, right. <That's> When do I not think about cars? That's bad. So, have y'all ever messed with Summit Racing?
Yeah.
Good, bad?
Yeah. What do y'all? I don't have any real negative. Mm-mm. I mean.
And we had to return some stuff, and they were pretty cool.
Not with Summit.
Not with?
Speedways, who we had to return a bunch of stuff with.
Oh, my bad.
No, Summit, who's we did the gift card giveaway at 500 for Summit. That's right. They worked with us.
Gotcha. So the Summit Distribution Center is not too far from here. Mm. On Mondays, they have, obviously, it's the big Summit Racing distribution and store. It's huge. But what they also have is the return. Like the return policy building in the back. It's like part of the building in the very back. It's separate. It has its own door. And that's where you get scratch, dent, a return of a purchase that's never even been on a car, everything. And it is like super cheap. So when you mentioned the whole brake pedal thing, so, when I was there on Monday, guess what I seen sitting on a shelf for $45? A CNC Wilwood full pedal set, all three pedals, the booster, the reservoirs, and everything.
Jeez.
$45.
Well, if you brand come across,
good, never been unwrapped.
If you come across a two pedal setup, grab it. Because the Model A will be a two-pedal.
But it was gas pedal, brake, and clutch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
The Model A is going to have a turbo 350 in it. So,
Maybe I can give you or whoever a heads up that I'm going. And I can, because what they do is, on Monday they restock the shelves. And then when they open, I think it's like at 9 o'clock in the morning, they open, or 8:30 or something. I can do a live by walk, or send a video of a walk. And anybody that wants any of the purchases, like, as long as they pay for the shipping, they at least they know I'm not going to screw them on it. I'm not trying to make money off it.
Yeah.
But it's very convenient for people like me who are poor, maybe not poor, but I choose to be poor because I spend so much money on car parts. Poor.
Car poor.
There's a difference.
Yeah, I seen something the other day that said, if you look in my yard, you'll think I'm rich. If you look at my bank account, you'll know I'm poor.
But yeah, the brand new CNC weld racing rims that are like $2,000 a piece for like an actual, I mean, big boy 15 beadlock weld rim.
Mm-hmm.
Bought mine for $300. And it's brand new. And it has all the bolts and the locks and everything. I just got to find another one that matches it.
Not for $2,000.
Yeah, if I don't, I'll do what I've already done. I found one that was the exact same rim, but it was a half inch. It had a half inch offset on it. That's out more, So I'm just going to run spacers. I got a half inch, I got a quarter inch spacer on one side and a half inch spacer on the other. Be good.
There you go.
Yeah, for $600, I got $4,000 in Weld Racing rims.
Hell yeah. So what is...
And they label everything.
What's one piece of advice that you'd give someone trying to get into this?
We need to have Jeopardy music.
Do you want this as a personal...
Yeah, like if...
A personal opinion, or do you want a professional business side opinion? Of like...
No, if someone was listening,
people really need to know.
Yeah, if somebody was listening to this podcast because they were interested in cars, but they didn't know the best way to go about it, what would you tell them?
Keep the sentimental out.
Very good.
I'm dead serious. I've seen more failed builds and financial burdens on unethical, sentimental builds. Instead of explaining, I'm just going to give an example, and then maybe it'll just open everybody's clarification so there's no questions. Mm. I have seen in my shop, I've seen about 20% of sentimental builds get in the way of everything, and they ended up financially not happy about the build at all, and it left such a bad taste in their mouth they don't even want to look at it hardly, other than they don't have any choice but to keep the thing.
Yep.
Because when you get your feelings in the way of logic, sense, which I've learned from past a long time ago, I mean, I won't even think of doing it now. But if the car, you got to make sure the value is going to stay in what you're putting in it. Mm-hmm. If you're, you know, if you put $10,000 in a $3,000 hunk and don't finish it, and even if you did finish it, you wouldn't get five for it. That's going to really steer you out of the way of wanting to do it again. Mm-hmm. Or even being in the cars in general.
Yep.
Like being able to choose a car or vehicle and not having the sentimental input that's overriding your judgment. I'll give you a perfect example. So I had probably my best show truck I have ever built in my life that I had done for a customer. It was, I mean, I don't even have to think twice. It was definitely the best build my hands have done for a customer. It was a 51 Chevy pickup truck. The lady's dad owned it. He passed away. She got the truck. And she wanted to fully restore it. That being said, she wanted it basically original. Other than drivability. So, I mean, that told me carburetor, maybe go EFI, mm-hmm. upgrade the brakes, maybe put a better upholstered seat in there, and get her some good tires and possibly change the rims, because, I mean, Steelies for those years were not the best. And pretty paint job of whatever color she wants. And, maybe, you know, she'll be going down the road in, like, 3 months. Happy. Oh, yeah, sorry. I need to change the story a little bit. Her dad hadn't died yet. Hmm. Her dad ended up dying before the truck was, it was finished, but she hadn't drove up there to show him yet. And he had passed away. But, so the car, or this truck, it was toast. I mean, it, you know, there was nothing left. There, the cab itself was in decent shape. Like, I'll give her that. Like, the back corners where they usually rust out, solid. Bottom, the floor, solid. Everything else was just not solid. I mean, the hood had, like, shotgun scatter holes in it. Everything was mangled on it, all the hinges. The doors, the door panels, they were rusted out. The fenders were gone. I mean, the last 8 inches all around the entire, all four fenders were gone. Crimples, and the bed itself was messed up. And so, logically, you need to just replace that stuff with repop. Mm-hmm. Or possibly we just go to a swap meet in the next week. That's what I would tell her. Like, hey, I'm going to swap meet in a week. I can throw a stick and hit 49 to 50 something Chevy fenders.
Yeah.
And in the back wells, you know, they're even more plentiful. Oh no, I have to have it's my dad's truck. It needs to be original. I don't want to get rid of, like, okay. So we're going to justify, I don't know, $2,000 worth of body work on one fender because we need to keep it original.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know what planet we're on, but we can do it. But, I mean, we're going to have to do that, lady, we're going to have to buy another fender that I'm already suggesting. Use it as, like, cut the bottom half of that one out and replace it with this one. Now that I'm thinking of it, maybe I should have just
swapped. I was going to say, should have swapped that, not said shit.
But, I mean, she would be at my shop like every 2 days to see it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, her heart and soul was into this build. Her intentions just were killing her, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, every fender had to be the fender. Hood had to be the original hood. I mean, I tried to explain this to her. Her dad was already sick at that time. I was like, look, every sentimental value decision you're making is not making logical sense. And now we're at 8 months. That, look, if you want it to be done in the next month and a half, these are the steps we're going to have to do. And just try not to steer too far from that. See, we got about 3 days into that. I got her on board, and all of a sudden, she was talking to other people, and then, oh, I need alarm. I need power windows. Oh, I need power locks. And power windows and power locks on 51 is not easy because of how the hinge comes in and out. I mean, you have to use contacts.
Yeah.
So I had installed contacts, and they worked perfectly. And then it bugged her that the door switches wouldn't work unless the door was shut. Like, why would you need to lock the door or roll the window up and down with the doors open? You got to figure that out. Okay. Here we go. You want it done, but we're going backwards. Then we kept going, and then I guess the negative feedback from people that don't know really what they're talking about can really hurt people's ethical decisions, too.
Mm-hmm.
So on this build, this lady was, I mean, I'm talking, we were a week done from, like, polishing and rolling it out. And her husband was like, you know, it'd be really cool if I could watch the football game. So we ended up putting, I had already painted the dash. She wanted a 9-inch monitor on the top of the dash and wanted me to weld like a little, I guess she had seen it at a show. It's like, you know what, I want that. So I put a 9-inch monitor in it. resealed and painted and buffed the dash. And guess what she came, so guess what happened right after that? Somebody told me that vacuum wipers are a thing of the past.
So you would think vacuum wipers, so electric, that's like that's an Amazon away from fixed in, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. I mean, we're deleting the vacuum lines, installing the power ones, and running the signal switch, and we're done. That's not that big of a, you know, I don't see that being that big of a setback. Doesn't sound like it, right?
No, except for you already have everything ran.
Except on that truck, we get it all in, and she had ordered the part. We didn't get it in yet. She had ordered it before she even asked me about it. She spent $700 on an electric wiper motor that was adaptable for her truck. She bought the most expensive one, not the regular AC Delco for $45, which was actually that's really cheap for something 51 Chevy adapter, 50, 40 something bucks. That's a steal.
Mm-hmm.
No, she bought the $700 chrome version. And when she showed up with it, because I'm looking at the AC Delco, and it was a two motors, and it went it was a motor on both sides, and it fought one wiper. The one she had bought used the original linkage that went behind the dash, and it went right where her monitor was. That she had to have, that was like 6 inches. It was like one of those monitors that goes 6 inches back, and guess what? It was right in the way.
Oh, jeez. So much for keeping it original.
So my electric guy is like, oh my God, what do we do?
You buy the AC Delco one and keep the chrome one for yourself?
She would not come to that. Her heart was, she's like, look, I got $80,000 on parts. I got to buy the best thing. You know, she was putting the best stuff of everything in this truck. So she could not steer from that. So we had to do it. And what we ended up having to do was we had to adapt that bar completely. So how it worked is it deleted the original linkage of the truck. But where the motor went, it had to be relocated. And how it ran was, for $700, this is what you get. You get a little electric motor, which that's fine. On that was a pot metal casing that had a little, I'm going to guess, a half inch wide piece of tube. Made a pot, like, I don't know, galvanized tube that was like a, kind of like a hose. And in there was where it had like a little spring that twisted. And that touched the gears on the wiper. So as soon as you try to relocate, it would strain the spring. And the wipers would work for like 30 seconds. And then it would strip it. After like 2 days of messing with it, we're like, look.
That's it.
We don't know what to do. And then they wouldn't take the part back.
Oh,
of course not.
Like, I don't know whose fault it is, but it surely ain't mine. I don't know what you want. You know, you have to have all these things, and they're killing each other, so.
Goodness.
And then it came to, like, the gas tank. She wanted to relocate the gas tank 2 days after we had buffed it and ready to push it out.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted one that lifted up. In the fender. She had seen it at some stupid show or somebody had suggested it. And she's like, you know what? This would be so cool. Like, no, it would not.
How not we originally planned it would have been cool.
I was like, well, I want it hidden away. I was like, that's not hidden away. I got to cut a hole in that fender.
That I just patched.
And
reveal
it. Right. Like, what?
Oh,
I was like, how about we, you know, because on a Chevy pickup, there's a hole in the bed in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's, like, I don't know what the dimensions are without looking at it, but I'm going to guess it's 2 inches by 2 inches, and it's kind of an angle because it's in the bed angle itself before it curls around on the top. Mm-hmm. I was like, why don't we just put the gas in there, and I could run the spout right up there. It's tucked, hidden away. you could still reach to it. You know, half the Chevys in the 50s were taillight gases anyway. So that'd be cool, right? Oh, no, can't do that. So we ended up cutting a hole. And then after I put it all together, she's like, I want the one, I want it to where the hole, where you, it actually had, where you open, she wanted to open up the flap and see where the plastic hole is to slide in, and it like opened the little door, like a new car. We ended up doing that. Awesome. And then the upholstery guy had to redo all of the stuff, because then she was like, well, my dad was an electrician, and I want the, whatever, I don't remember, the resistor symbol. It's like a, it's a line, and it goes up and down, and up, and then it goes straight again. Yeah, we did redo the upholstery to have that symbol.
Goodness gracious. So it more like sounds like just don't build for other people.
And so that was 2.5 years ago, and this lady still takes that truck to shows, and she's absolutely miserable about it.
Yeah, one of our first guests on here was building a Model A, I think it's a coupe, for a lady, and same scenario. She's got probably $70,000 wrapped up into this Model A coupe, and it is sitting in his shop unfinished because she basically went, here, it's yours. I don't want to see it. I don't want you to finish it. I don't want. And because she had so much money in it that every time she would look at it, it just made her sick. And now he's like, but now I have that money in it, and I can't get rid of it because I've never seen a $60,000 Model A coupe. You know, but so do you have anybody before we hop off of here? Do you have anybody that you need to shout out, say thank you to?
I'll thank my girlfriend for putting up with it. You know? my car love in the last 3 months of, I mean, I went from 35 cars to 4. And you know what? It's, I always have to put my life first before cars. And you know, when I was like 28, yeah, that was not the case. Yeah. But I got to stay happy with it, and I need to find my flexible spectrum of happy and miserable, because I'm putting too much effort in my, I'm taking part of my happiness of life and putting it over into the car world. I need to find where I can be happy in both.
Yeah,
you got to find a balance.
If I could give advice, that's the one.
Okay, well, go check out Swap It Fast, connecting buyers with sellers before, during, and after events. The more buyers that get signed up for that, the more sellers get signed up for it, the more buyers there'll be, and the easier it'll be for us to find that needle in a haystack.
Oh, yes. And don't forget about Throttle Attic, using code word Hot Rod, and you get to save 15% off.
And also, before we get off of here, if you are a company and you like what we're doing and you'd like to sponsor us, or like to, you know, get us to come out to a show or something like that, give us a holler. We've still been doing this by ourselves, and we appreciate the support with the likes and the shares and the comments. With that being said, make sure you check out the Facebook, the Instagram, the YouTube, and on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Till next time, guys, get out there and drive your shit.
See ya.
Later.